Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman in the studio, and our next guest is Kari Heisted. Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you.
I hope I got the last name correct.
You did get it correct. Yep.
Good. Close enough. There's still
those
a chance
Norwegian
to mess it up.
Norwegian names designed to torment you.
And Kari is with Diversity Dashboard. Welcome. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Sure. The Diversity Dashboard is a software which is designed to help diversity professionals to track their activities, measure their results, and analyze the return on investment. And so there's a big push in the diversity field now to increasingly look at metrics so that people have an opportunity to work with their senior leaders and to understand the power that diversity programs are having on the work that they're doing and how to align that to the business results and where that kind of comes in. And metrics is key to be able to kind of show some of that. So there's been a gap in the marketplace in terms of people being able to actually measure that. And so we're stepping in to fill that gap.
Interesting. So you've developed software application. I know part of your career has been focused on international coaching and culture coaching. And diversity is an offshoot of that, obviously. Yep. And tell us what types of clients are looking at this. I mean, I know diversity once upon a time was in domain of large companies, but it's all that much more important in every company today.
It is now. So I've been in the diversity and inclusion field for about 20 years. And started a company called Culture Coach International that provides diversity consulting, training, and tools that people can use. And increasingly what I was finding with my clients was the conversation that went, this is great, we're doing awesome work, but I don't know how to measure it. Mm-hmm. And so that conversation kept coming over and over. And eventually I started to look for solutions and figure out there wasn't one. And so we did a variety of nationwide interviewing and surveys for folks to say, what are you currently doing to measure your metrics? What we got back was either nothing at all or Excel spreadsheets. And so that's how the dashboard kind of got born. What we know, though, is that diversity has been from those large corporations where it used to be 20 years ago and it was focusing just on race and gender. Now it's basically every sized company is looking at it because increasingly what we know is that diverse teams are much more innovative, they're much more creative, and in the hunt for talent right now, what you want to do is create those inclusive workplaces, and so that impacts everybody. So it's no matter what size you are.
So really interesting because I think what you initially touch on, and I think maybe I am unique, but I don't think so. When you hear the word diversity, just as you said, you know, you think about race and gender are the first two things I think that come to most people's mind. You don't have to run through a whole list, but how many metrics are there to look at across the diversity spectrum?
And
there must be a lot.
There's a lot, right? And I think the biggest thing to remember about diversity is its context.
Okay.
So I could take any single person and put them in a context where they're not the norm and they are diverse.
Okay.
So I'll
by
use,
definition.
By
right.
definition, yeah. right? So I'll just use a sports example. We're in Boston, so I'll use that. I am a soccer fan. I photograph the New England Revolution soccer team. Mm-hmm. So I'm at Gillette Stadium all the time. I'm in my norm. There's lots of other folks there. But if I showed up for a New England Patriots game, I'm out of place. I don't know what to wear. I don't know what to say. All this type of stuff. I am diverse there because I'm not in my culture.
So it becomes somewhat self-defining.
Exactly.
Based on the context, as
exactly.
you said.
So anybody can be diverse.
Okay.
You know, you put a male nurse on a floor with all women, female nurses, they're diverse.
Okay.
Right? So it helps people to kind of think about the fact that it's not defined by one single characteristic. It's about how do you get different thoughts, backgrounds, ideas, and things to the table to be able to create that creativity and to be able to leverage that for the bottom line for whatever business you happen to be working with. So it's helping people to shift that. So the definition I use for diversity is all the ways we're similar and different to one another.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's an all-in conversation, right? Because if you're looking at one particular aspect of diversity, then everybody else is excluded. And now the conversation goes us versus them versus us understanding us. And when you do that, then you open that conversation up to everybody being included.
So the dashboard, as you said, is a software tool that you've developed to help companies manage and measure.
Yep.
And how is it deployed? Is it a software as a service?
Software as a service. So it's a SaaS platform.
And they pay a licensing fee to be able to use the platform?
Yep, that's correct. So we actually launched last January. We're going to launch our beta test soon. We'll figure out
Exciting
for my tech
times.
Team exactly when soon is, but soon. And within that, then there are several different modules within the software. So people are going to be able to look at how they track diversity events, for example, diversity training, managing their diversity councils. So it's not simply one aspect of what a diversity professional does, but it's all the different facets of their job.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of those different facets has a different metric.
Okay.
So when we think about metrics, it's really much more about what can you measure in all those different topics? So it's not just how am I counting people in roles and what they look like, but it's more of how am I counting my activity, how many people come to events, how many people went through training, how many diversity communications did we send out, if my diversity council, you know, does different events and reaches senior leaders, how many senior leaders have supported us, you know, so there's a whole variety of ways to measure things that aren't simply how people look and what role they're in.
So when you get down to the smaller end of the marketplace, and one of the challenges, you know, many smaller companies don't have any HR function specifically, and they certainly don't have somebody that's typically tasked with diversity, you know, a role, at least at least a title that has diversity in it. So, you know, it seemed to me that a lot of what you're talking to are tend to be larger companies, but you're saying it applies to everybody.
It applies to everybody. So I think for the smaller entrepreneurs, then part of it is for them is to stop and think about how do you build a team that's going to bring the skill sets and the backgrounds and the innovation you need. So the smaller you are, the more innovation you need, right? And I can say this right now because I'm building a team. And I'm sitting there and saying, I don't want everybody to come from the same background. I don't want them to look alike. I want all these different backgrounds. And in my team that we've got for the diversity dashboard, we do have that. I think the trick is that when you do that as a leader and as an entrepreneur in a small business, you then have to step back and say, I'm willing to be open to different ways of getting things done. So I have to be open to new ideas. I have to let the discussion run a little bit longer. I have to work on building consensus. And it's just not my way, do it. It's more of how do we bring together that collective innovation and creativity and then leverage it.
Which sounds to me like it requires, for lack of a better term, a mindset, a shift in mindset.
It is. It is.
And thought processes and then habits.
Yes.
You know, ultimately to be able to adapt it.
And it is about asking yourself. So as an entrepreneur, we're always, we have too much to do and too little time to do it in, right? And I understand some people are like, but this is more time consuming. I'm like, it's like any new skill set. You have to learn how to do it first. The more you do it, the easier it becomes, and pretty soon it becomes habit. So then it becomes, of course, I'm going to open that up. I'm going to ask somebody how to do something differently. So I had a project once that required putting together a global holiday calendar, and I'd had about 400 dates in the calendar. So I gave it to somebody who was in there, was like 19 or 20 at the time. And I said, I need to update these dates by this time. Here's the process. Just make sure they're accurate, et cetera. She came back and gave me 1,400 holidays. I was like, she said, you didn't say there was a limit. I'm like, you're right. I didn't. And she'd done enough of the process to know they were all accurate.
Yeah.
Now, the next year when we went to update 1,400 instead of 400, that person probably wasn't so happy. But we had a phenomenal product that we didn't have before. So as opposed to my saying, this is the way you have to do it, if you can manage it to say, this is the end product we're trying to get to, show me your creativity, show me how the innovation can work, show me a different way of doing it. Now, will it always work every time? No.
Right.
And sometimes you have to look at someone and say, great idea, here's the parameters on why that's not going to work.
Right.
But as opposed to saying no, or we don't do that way this year and shutting it down, if you say yes and... here's where we can go with it.
So about a year and a half ago or a year ago, you said you launched and you're in beta. I'm speculating, and tell me, was Culture Coach a traditional service business?
Yes.
And now you've morphed into a software entrepreneur.
Correct. Yes. So now I'm running two of them. Yeah.
So tell us about that transition for you.
Yeah, the transition. It was actually an interesting transition because I've been providing service-oriented stuff for 20 years, and now I'm off selling tech. That it was a mind shift. I actually have a coach because I'm part of the WinLab accelerator program out of Babson. And one of the conversations I had with my coach that you get with them was, okay, I have to go from A to B in my mindset. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm still in diversity. So everybody thinks it's the same thing, but it's not. Here I'm selling soft skills. Here I'm selling data.
Right.
And so it has been a process for me in terms of thinking, how do I do that? Now, my first degree was in molecular biology. So that data piece is probably part of the reason why I'm comfortable launching the dashboard and talking about data, because I'm hearkening back to a very long time ago. But it is about thinking about information in a very different way. And so it has been a transition. I fully admit to that. And it's been a fascinating one to watch myself go through that transition.
Now, I guess the question I ask is, you know, this is a show about entrepreneurs, is how has the transition been? Has it been, in terms of your preconceived notions that you had in terms of how easy, how difficult, you know, all of that.
It's,
I mean, you have a foundation.
Yeah, I have
so
a foundation. I know.
You're not bootstrapping.
I'm not bootstrapping. Yeah. Well, I'm bootstrapping the company.
Right.
And that part has been interesting because the previous company I kind of built on my own. I've had folks work for me, but I was basically the person selling and the person delivering a lot of it.
Right.
Whereas this one, I'm actually bootstrapping from the beginning, building a team, looking at investment, all that type of stuff, which has been very different. So although I'm an entrepreneur with 20 years of experience, the entrepreneurial experience with a startup has been profoundly different. So my learning curve has been Mach 1 straight up. I mean, I'm just like, there's so much I need to learn, and I need to learn it all now. Like, what do you mean these different stock options? Okay, explain that to me. And not cost me $2,000 worth of legal fees, you know, that type of stuff. So the mental shift has been one that I've been excited about, but it has definitely challenged me for sure because I've had to learn a whole different way of doing things.
And in terms of the vision to launch, from when you had the concept to today, what was the thought process in terms of that? Has the timeline shifted dramatically?
Yes, the timeline has shifted, needless to say. Not that I wasn't surprised about, but you have to pick one. I was actually involved with an accelerator program called the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Businesses about 4 years ago. And if anybody listening qualifies for it, you have to have been in business 2 years, have 4 employees who could be part-time, and have at least $150,000 in sales. If you do, and you are looking to stretch and grow, then you're qualified to apply. Okay. And so if anybody's interested, I'd strongly encourage the program. Phenomenal program. And I went through it 4 years ago, and we have an alumni group. And I was coming to them kind of going, I'm thinking about these other ideas and the marketplace is changing. And I do an idea and they're like, no, do an idea. No, do an idea. Oh, whoa, wait, back up. That one might work. So there was a whole thought process and kind of testing ideas,
different
ideas.
So you really had a built-in sounding
board. Yeah, built-in sounding
board,
right? And they were very honest. I mean, that's what I depend on them to be. Like, no, you're absolutely nuts. That's never going to work, you know? So, and then I'd come back to them and say, okay, what about this one? And once I hit the dashboard idea, they're like, yes, that would align with where we're going, what's currently going on, and things like that. Right. And so then it was about 6 months of my kind of doing some background thinking, mulling over, fleshing out before I kind of really fully what I'd call officially launched last January. And then all of last spring was about research, market interviews, and things like that, and then starting to build the team.
And it sounds to me like at least initially your client base would complement, or there would be an overlap in terms of the client base.
Yes, there is definitely an overlap in terms of the client base. So that's the benefit for me, is that I'm selling to who I would sell to for the dashboard currently.
Okay.
And so there's the benefit in terms of saying, hey, we're doing this, and now we're going to be doing this as well. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it's a fascinating story, and you know, we'd love to hear more as you launch and some of your experiences. And,
happy to do that. Yeah,
really sounds like an exciting time. So we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Moving forward.
I appreciate that.
Our guest has been Kari Heisted of Diversity Dashboard, and if our listeners want to get in touch with you for either Diversity Dashboard or Culture Coach, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Sure. So two websites: culturecoach.biz. for business, and diversity-dashboard.biz. So those are the two websites. And an email would be kari@diversity-dashboard.biz, which
and
is K-A-R-I.
I was just going to make
diversity-dashboard.biz.
Sure.
Yep.
Wonderful. Kari Heisted, we wish you great things in the future, and thank you for coming into Radio Entrepreneurs.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.